Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship-building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Hello, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels Radio, Zoom, Facebook Live show. Today is October 27th, just in case you didn't know that. Yes, we are, and I always forget to say this, right? But Radio, Zoom, Facebook Live. Yeah, so LA Talk Radio is the radio station that I use to go that we do the radio portion through. So if you couldn't listen or couldn't watch me, you can go to latalkradio.com and you can listen to it live, and you can listen to the podcast, which is after this is over. So this is a live show. So it's 1 o'clock on Tuesday, and this is a live show, right? So I can't say, stop, wait a minute, Ronan, let's run this back. No, I can't do that. Okay, so this is live show. So whatever happens after this point happens. But anyway, so I just had to say that. But we're all about connecting people and collaboration. And I always say hashtag hospitality unplugged, which means, you know, we're going to talk about if it's in the hospitality industry, no matter what that is. And the hospitality industry is a wide and vast industry. And we may say, you know, we may talk about some things that people don't want to hear about. But guess what? We're going to talk about it anyway, because it's going to be all in good taste. We try to mix a little fun in there as well. And we try to get people from all throughout the hospitality industry, right? And today I'm going to have someone on the show that's from the cruise industry, which we've never had anyone from the cruise industry. In fact, you can see her now. I'm not going to formally introduce her yet, but I'm going to introduce her, if that makes sense. That's Miss Sarah Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing, Russell?
I'm doing fine, and thank you so much for being on the show. But we're going to get into it with you in a minute. I have a formal introduction as we get into the interview part. But of course, as we go on, if there's things you want to say, you can jump in and say it too, at, you know, based on the subject matter that I'm going to be talking about. Like, I start off with industry news and all that kind of stuff. But feel free. So, but today is show number 80, another milestone. And of course, you know, with milestones, you got to have someone great on the show, right? So like I said, I have Sarah Good, who's today's guest. She's a cruise ship travel expert, travel documentary producer, director, writer, creator. I mean, she's kind of done it all. And we're going to talk about some things. And it's funny how I know Sarah for some years, a couple years, I would guess. And we had a conversation yesterday, and it's funny how I'm finding out new stuff, and I should have known this stuff already, but you know, he holds out on me. So that's fine too. But we talk, you know, when we talk, I mean, we talk for like, you know, hour, 2 hours at a time. So, but it's just funny that I never knew some of the stuff, you know, I never knew about this. She never shared the travel documentary with me, and she did share a trailer with me last week, which was, I thought it was phenomenal. So, you know, I mean, that's just me. I mean, it's easy to, I guess, to please me, but it was great. I thought it was great, but we're going to talk about that. Industry news. I have to mention this webinar for my hotel salespeople. how to stay out. Well, I'm sorry. Let me back up. How to stand out to third-party meeting planners. I'm a third-party meeting planner. I call myself a hotel site selection person. But it's how to stand out to third-party meeting planners / hotel site selection people in 30 days or less. Miss Michelle Murphy of Avery Murphy LLC, who is a meeting planner, and she does hotel site selection and contract negotiations as well, is hosting this webinar. It's actually today. I mentioned this last week as well. And I think I did post it on LinkedIn as well. It is today, which is Tuesday, October 27th at 3 p.m. PST. That's Pacific Standard Time. So in a couple hours from now, it will be on. So make sure. Oh, thank you. Someone mentioned that they love my shirt. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for liking my shirt. I do appreciate that. So that's always good. Wardrobe did a good job today. So thank you, Wardrobe. But yeah, so today, check out if you have time. Check out how to stand out to third-party meeting planners today, 30 days or less, with Michelle Murphy of Avery Murphy. And if you don't know how to link in, that's fine. You can go to my website, which is russellofhotels.com. Go to the partnership pull down, and then you'll see the link. You'll see Avery Murphy's logo, and it'll be right below that. Just click on that, and that'll get you into the webinar. You can sign up and everything. Safety and cleanliness at the Broadmoor. Check this out. Okay. So I was having a conversation today with a client, friend of mine, Cheryl Rogers. She just told me she liked my shirt. So thank you so much. And it's funny how we just segue into talking about you, Cheryl. So she actually attended Smart Meetings and Connect, which is at Smart Meetings was at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs, and then Connect Conference was at the Marriott World Center in Orlando. And of course, after people go to these, especially after this, or we're in the middle of COVID, I'm always going to ask, you know, how was the service? Did you see that they were cleaning? Did it look right? Did it flow right? And she basically said everything went according to plan. Probably she, you know, didn't expect as much as what they, you know, did. So they performed well. They made sure that they were cleaning. Food was, I mean, I'm always concerned about how are they serving food? Is it still buffet style or what are they doing? But no, everybody's being, they're self-serve. I'm not self-serving, but the staff is serving you. So you're just picking what you need or what you want, and they're actually serving you, and they're keeping the social distance rules and things like that. So I'm going to have her on the show maybe next week, and she'll talk in detail about, you know, her experience, because it's all about the experience. Well, with Cheryl's, it's always all about the experience, but I always want to take someone's, someone that's been there. I wasn't there. So, I mean, I'm just going off of what she's telling me. Right. So I want her to be on the show so she can say in her words exactly what was going on. They even did temperature checks. You know, if before, I don't know if it was before sessions or before the general session every day, they had one designated area where they were checking temperatures and things like that before you were able to have access in. And they actually gave you a color code. So if it's a 3-day conference, there's three different colors. So you couldn't I'm sick today, so I'm keep the same color, you know, like a little color on your lapel or something like that. Well, they changed the color. So one day, first day was yellow, next day was green, next day was red or whatever. I'm just throwing it out there. But yeah, she told me that as well. But we'll have her on the show. She can go into detail about that. Have you checked your SSI score on LinkedIn? Have you done that before, Sarah?
No, but I heard you talking about it before.
Okay. I'm going to send you the link, not right now, but I'm going to send you the link. And I'm just curious to see what your score would be, because of course I mentioned this last week, and Michelle Carlin, who was my guest last week, she had to make it a point to call me after the show was over because she had checked hers, and hers was 73. Now mine was 71, hers was 73. So she just had to rub that in my face that her score was higher than mine. So thank you so much, Michelle Carlin, for doing that. But no, I'm just joking about that. But yeah, but she does have a 73. So my job is to get a 74 now. So because I'm not losing this. I'm not losing this. So not that it's a competition. I'm sorry.
I watched her last week. It was very good. She was very informative.
Yeah, yes, she is. She was. Yeah, she's my go-to person when it comes to things like that. Were you going to say something else?
Well done, Michelle. I was just going to say, well done, Michelle. I haven't met you, Michelle. But well done.
Well, maybe we can do. Maybe we'll get an E introduction going on here. So, or a Z introduction, a Zoom introduction. There you go. So, yeah. But yeah. But if you have a chance, go to just Google SSI LinkedIn, and it'll come up with a couple different choices. And just click on it, profile account. So you have to have that. But it comes up with this number, and believe it's not the end all be all. You know, you're the social media expert on LinkedIn, but it's just something to. You know, something to gauge your, you know, the things that you do, if you post enough or if you make enough comments on things. So all these things are weighted in there. Or do you have the right connections? So it's just one of those things that it gauges me, at least gauges my performance and what I'm doing. So I take this stuff serious because I'm on social media a lot. So I do. It's just, like I said, another tool for me to use. Is your hotel open? Did you get back to work? If you have, if it is, create some FOMO. What does FOMO mean, Sarah?
Fear of missing out.
Okay, there you go. I was a, whew, man. I thought we were going to end the show right there. Sarah doesn't know FOMO.
I do not have a degree in travel and hospitality.
That's okay.
Listening somewhere. No, I do, but that's I had to think okay. about that for a second. I've been outside a while.
You got it. Very good. Very good. I'm glad you got that, because we're going to end the show right there if you couldn't get that. So that was your test. Yeah. So now we can continue to move on. So yeah. So if your hotel is open, you need to post things, because how are we going to know that you're open unless you're posting? Okay. So make sure you post. Tag me in it. Tag at Russell of Hotels. I would love to, you know, make a comment or something. But if you went back to work and you're working at a hotel, you know, on your social media page, you know, create a little FOMO, take some pictures of your hotel back at work, you know, whatever. It doesn't have to be hospitality either. If you just left the hospitality industry and started working somewhere else, who cares? We don't care that if you left the hospitality industry, we care that you have a J-O-B. A J-O-B is a job. Okay. That's what we care about. So there you go. A quick shout out to Wendy Song Dowling. She's doing a road trip to Nebraska, and she stayed at a Marriott along with her husband. I know Sin is, I used to work with him, and she posted some FOMO. She was on her way. So she stayed at the Marriott Hotel along the way, I think. And I'm not sure where that was, but I know they're going to Nebraska, but she was taking pictures of this hotel just to kind of create a little FOMO as she's doing a little road trip. Which is great. It's all about, if we can't, because a lot of people want to leave the country and all that stuff. Well, we can do things here. We can travel the U.S. There's a lot of things to see until we get the chance to, you know, to leave the country consistently and do some of the things we were doing before. But there's a lot of things that are within 300 miles, 200 miles of your wherever you live that you never even seen before. So why don't we take advantage of those things too? So travel America. There you go. All right. You heard that first here. Travel America on air with Russell of Hotels. You heard that here. So.
Yeah, I agree.
You agree? Okay. All right. Social media usage is up nearly 7 minutes from 2019. Did you hear that one before, Sarah?
Yes, because I watched okay. your show.
Oh, listen to that. She listened to the show, so she knows what the heck I'm talking about. Okay. So, which means as a marketing strategy, you know, what are you doing? How are we moving forward? If people are spending seven additional minutes on social media, what are we doing to appeal to those people? We got to do something, right? We can't just sit around like, oh, okay, well, that's good. I'm on this 7 more minutes. What am I going to do now? I mean, or what are we going to do for the, you know, to attract more people? I mean, these goes to the hotel people, your marketing people. What are you doing to get people to maybe think or whatever the heck that is? So why not do something? Nine Meat Eats. Now, Sarah mentioned right before the show, she goes, are you going to talk about non-meat eats? I'm like, that's what I do. I'm a non-meat eat person. And she said, I said, why? Are you a non-meat eats person? And she said, what did you say, Sarah?
I said, no, I am not. I am all about the chicken and fish.
And you said, what did you do to chicken and fish last night?
I overcooked my chicken last night.
Okay, see, so there you go.
I shouldn't say that. My parents are going to watch this and She's very angry at me that I didn't learn how to properly make chicken, but I haven't had my own kitchen in a while.
So. Oh boy, that's funny. Listening,
I'm really sorry. It's hard to overcook chicken.
Yeah, that's okay. All right. So you don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But yeah, so not meat eats. What's the newest thing I ate last week? I had some mushrooms, some cremini mushrooms. And I have an air fryer, right? So I chopped them up, I diced them, sliced them or whatever, and put them in this air fryer for, I don't know, 5-7 minutes. And it kind of crisped them up a little. You season them, put a little olive oil and kind of crisp them up a little. And I put them on a bun. Like it was like a burger. I mean, it was like the best burger I had. Put a little barbecue sauce on it, which didn't have any added stuff other than, my non-meat eats. And it was so good. I hate to say it, it was bomb. It was good. It was grub. Okay. So I mean, what can you say? But so that was one of the newest things I tried, a cremini mushroom sandwich. And I posted that on Instagram if you wanted to look at my page, which is what is it? Russell of Hotels, that's my page. And then I've been into this vegetable curry lately. I've been making a lot of curry dishes, but anything with vegetables and tofu. That's what I've been into. So you put a little, I have every seasoning you can known to man, Indian spice known to man, right? So you mix, what do you call it? Coconut milk with it. And it's great. Comes out good, comes out thick. And you can thicken it a little with, it's called tapioca, which is like, I don't know, tapioca pudding. I don't know, but it's tapioca. It's like, it's a flour, but it thickens it up. So it's, So I know all the tricks of the trade now when it comes to the non-meat eats. So thank you so much for asking me about non-meat eats, Sarah. Appreciate that. Hey, quick question. Why do people view your LinkedIn profile in the private mode? Is that kind of stalkerish? I don't know.
That's a tough one. I wonder that as well. Why can't you just be open about it?
Yeah.
Maybe they want to hire you, or they're interested in seeing if you are working right now, so they want to get a leg up.
I don't know, but
some other reasons that probably don't relate to job searching.
yeah. So, I've been getting a couple of those. I've been noticing a little more lately. And I'm like, why do these people do that? Why are they on this private mode, and why don't I know who these people are? But the thing of it is, it'll tell you something. It'll tell you what company they work for, but it just won't tell you who these people are. You know what I mean? So I don't know. But I just thought I'd mention that because this is what I do. If I look at your profile and I'm not connected with you, I'm going to ask to be connected to you. I mean, it's up to you if you want to connect with me. But if I go and look at somebody's profile and I'm not connected with them already, I'm going to ask for a connection. So that's what I do. So my advice is ask for the connection. It's okay. You don't have to stalk me. You can look at all my stuff. It's out there. I'm an open book when it comes to social media stuff. So please feel free to do that. Are you reinventing yourself? Are you swerving? Okay. Now swerving, Sarah probably knows, is the new pivot. Okay. Is the new P word. So I use the S word. Okay. So it's all about swerving to me. Okay. So have you swerved lately?
may I interject that I was on the phone with somebody this week and last week, two different calls in the industry. And I used the word swerving because of you. I did not use pivot.
Okay, good. You'll see. There you go.
I wish I could record this. I did not say pivot. I think the person wasn't expecting swerving or rotating, but you have to be innovative in this COVID time.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I use the S word. I don't use the P word. I use the S word. Hey, the best way to predict the future is to invent it. And I think Sarah has predicted her own future at times and continues to do that. She continues to reinvent and swerve. That is for sure. We're going to talk about that. Contact information real quick. If you want to email me, russell@russellofhotels.com. I'm on Twitter @russellofhotels, IG Russell of Hotels, LinkedIn Russell L. Edmond, Facebook, two pages, Russell L. Edmond, and then Russell of Hotels. And then I have a website, which is Russell of Hotels. So, and I mentioned earlier that this show is live, but after the show is over, it becomes a podcast. I'm not going to get into what I do because a lot of people know that already, because I want to get into it with this young lady. Collaboration and connecting people. Four things I always ask everyone, and this is for you guys to answer, not for me. How's your professional or personal brand staying relevant? Two, knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would do differently? Three, have you connected with anyone new lately? And then four, what has this situation, meaning this whole COVID thing, what has it taught you? Okay. So those questions for you, not for me. Not for you, Sarah. I mean, don't worry about that. Shout out, a quick shout out to Junior Tava'a. And I hope I'm saying your last name right, Junior. I've known Junior for years, but you know, give me a pass. He's a VP of sales and marketing for Visit Anaheim. And he always gives, well, he doesn't always, but he just gave an update on what's going on at Downtown Disney. And I appreciate that, right? Because it's creating that FOMO that I always talk about. And if we don't know what's going on, if no one posts anything about Downtown Disney or Disneyland, we'll never know what the heck's going on. Okay, so he posted some new restaurants that are open, that are going to be open, or I think they're open now. And one that piqued my interest was the brewery, okay? Because they had like a gazillion beers on tap. I mean, they showed, I'm like, I got to drink at least 10 of those, right? So one day I'm going to have to go down there and check it out. But the only way I knew about it is because Junior posted that. So Junior, thank you so much for posting that. I appreciate that. And then next week on Blast is going to be Mr. Victor Simmons, VP of HR and Diversity and Inclusion for Ace Hotels. Now, Victor and I went to school together back in the day. So we're going to talk about some good stuff. And what is D&I? I need to find out, Victor. Give me the lowdown on D&I. But anyway, thank you again to Michelle, Miss Michelle Carlin, Alignment Advising, for the tips, you know, on resume writing and how to market yourself for your next job. So I do appreciate you. Introduction of today's guest, Miss Sarah Good. Sarah Good, a New Hampshire native, has developed over 15 years of experience working in various travel and hospitality industry roles with Walt Disney World, Phantom, Impact Travel, and Cunard Cruise Line, to name a few. Once she completed an internship at Greek after a freshman year of college, Sarah knew her career would include travel to the ends of the earth or wherever people might travel. Her love of the ocean contributed to her desire to work for 5 major cruise lines around the world. Sarah's interest and ability in traversing the globe led to her desire to choose challenging roles both domestically and internationally. As she has lived and worked in New Zealand, Japan, and Thailand, her travels have taken her to over 50 countries and 6 continents to date. After a 9-year career in event planning in the U.S., Sarah has given the opportunity to achieve personal and professional dream of living and working in New Zealand in 2010. Sarah's love of great outdoor nature and adventure travel was exponentially realized while living in the youngest country on earth. Her love of the Kiwi lifestyle, its people, and laid-back approach to living her best life contributed to her desire to produce and shoot a phenomenal documentary entitled New Zealand, Off the Beaten Path. The 2019-2020 polar region travel season would contribute to one of her greatest achievements to date, working in and exploring the majestic white continent, which is Antarctica. Wow, that's got to be phenomenal to be there. It would be this role that presented Sarah with the most impactful transformational role of her career yet. To be trained as an expedition guide and oversee all guest service manager duties simultaneously on board an expedition ship. Sarah is known to navigate through waters less frequently sailed and hang her ability to change. Oh my God, I'm out of breath. I got to take some water after that. But without any further ado, please welcome to the stage and welcome to the mic, Miss Sarah Good. Thank you so much for being on the air with Russell of Hotel, Sarah.
Thank you, Russell. Thank you for having me.
I'm sorry, I had to drink some water after that. Oh my God.
Yeah, I have some too.
But that's good. That's phenomenal. Cool. Okay, so where are you now? Let's do a quick location check. Where are you right now?
Sure. So I'm in Western Massachusetts. I I finally made it back to the country after the challenges of COVID-19. Returned back to the U.S. in April.
Okay, very good. We're going to get into that. We're going to end with this, but we got to start with this. How did this all begin? Okay, so at 19, okay, you did an internship with a Greek cruise line, right? So you were obviously in school in the States, and you said you got this travel bug early and said, you know what? I'm going to drop what I'm doing. I'm going to do an internship on a cruise ship. How did that even start?
Well, it didn't. It wasn't that way. I wish it would just happen that way. But I really knew, I guess, since junior high school, my grandparents gave me a box of travel brochures. They had traveled the entire world themselves. And they gave me this box of brochures. And I thought, okay, I'm going to major in travel. That, I mean, I knew it, 13, 14, I guess I was. And so I was all over the East Coast of the U.S. trying to find a school that would be able to kind of put me on the right track immediately. I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew I wanted to work on a cruise ship. I knew that I wanted to go to a school that had an internship on a cruise ship. And I had early admission into Johnson & Wales in Providence. And my mom said, there's this all women's college in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. We should go check it out. And I said, I'm not going to an all women's school. Not me. I'm not going to do it. And then I went, and there was an amazing ambassador, and she was giving this tour, and she was majoring in the same major. And I believe she had done the internship in Greece with Royal Olympic Cruises as a social host intern also after her freshman year. And so I chose it because it was the only college in the U.S. in the mid-90s, that had an internship on a cruise ship. So I started, I chose that all-women school, Bay Path College. It's now Bay Path in Longmeadow, Mass. And here I am. If I didn't go there, I don't know if I would have had the entrepreneurial spirit that I have today, because it was all women's. It was all about women empowerment, motivating women to be your best self, go after everything that you want, you know, have a goal, crush it, accomplish it, achieve it, and run something better. And so
That is great. I love that. So your internship lasted about how long? Like just for the summer, like 3 months or something like that?
Oh, it was only part of the summer. It was for my associate's degree. And it was, so it was based in Athens, and we sailed the Greek islands, Turkey. But they had me do everything. It wasn't some fancy schmatz internship. I mean, I did everything. The cruise director at the time, he didn't speak Spanish. He was from California. But then we had a German host, a Spanish host, a French host. This was back in the 90s. So you can imagine the cruise industry was not quite what it is today. But to be able to be with Royal Olympic, that's the name, they are no longer in business. But if anybody in the industry remembers Royal Olympic, they might know it as Sunline or Aperotiki. And being that I come from a Greek, I thought this is perfect. I have to get this internship. I have to go and do this. And it was hard. It wasn't easy. I was doing the announcements in Spanish, the shipwide announcements. The cruise director had me doing everything. So I really got a good solid foundation at a very young age. And they treated me as one of their own, as though I was a paid member of their team and of their staff.
Wow. Very good. Okay. So when you left there, you went back to school, obviously. was your first job out of college on a cruise ship? Or what was your first job out of college?
It was. So I worked for a travel agency in East Longmeadow, Massachusetts, called The Cruise Store. Thank you, Don Anderson. Special shout out if he watches this later, because he gave me such an incredible opportunity. He's the best. We're still really close. He's a phenomenal mentor in the cruise and travel industry to me. And he said, do you want to be an intern on our team for your senior year? And he kept me on board until I got my job at Carnival Cruise Line.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So your first real job was with Carnival.
It was the fun ship.
And where was that sailed from where to where?
Oh, so the first one was the Bahamas. So 3 and 4 day cruises to the Bahamas. And I was brought on as social host, and then I became groups coordinator. So I oversaw all the onboard groups. It's amazing what you can do on a cruise ship back in the day, even back then. just huge groups, conferences, meetings, conventions, music groups, you name it, we did it. And I was with Carnival for a little over a year. I worked out of LA for my second contract. But again, 3 and 4 day cruises. So constant turnover, very quick turnaround times, party cruises, really got to know the Bahamas, really got to know Ensenada and Catalina Island. But that opportunity kind of led to so many other things in my career.
So can I say that you were the Julie McCoy of the Carnival Cruise Line? Can I say that?
You can say that. That's what most people would probably think of it as. But I will say I have not yet held the title of cruise director.
Okay. And that's what Julie McCoy was?
I've done many of the duties, but I do say I've never had a badge that says cruise director. Just, you know.
Okay. Now today before I get into that, challenges of working on a ship. I mean, I've cruised maybe 3 different times, I think. And I always try to ask the associates or the employees, like, you know, what are the working conditions like? What are the not conditions, but what are you? Where are the sleeping quarters at? Are they at the very bottom? And what are the challenges of working on a ship or living on a ship?
Do you know they were different on every cruise line? Royal Olympic, I had my own cabin, probably because I was an intern. Carnival, I always had a roommate, but they were in the depths, you know, in the bottom of the ship in the lower decks. And then let's see, Fathom Impact Travel, they were on the same as the guests, but they were small. We leased the ship from P&O UK, from P&O Cruises. And then, and then Cunard, they were by far the best cabin I've ever had. They were also on a guest deck. They were very large. I mean, you could move around in it. They had large wardrobes for your clothing and desk space for 2 people, lots of drawer space. You could walk the length of it. You could have parties in there. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but okay, everybody did.
You said it.
I said it. Rich. Now.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, and then the final one, Quark Expeditions, they were really nice. I was lucky to be on their newest ship on the World Explorer. And we had what were the equivalent of guest cabins.
Okay.
Luxury. They were very nice.
Very good. Okay. Now let's jump in. You mentioned, you said Quark? Quark.
Quark.
Okay. And you were, what was your position there? You were an expedition guide, right?
So expedition guide out in the field, but my primary function there was guest services manager on board. So there's only one guest services manager on each of the 4 vessels. Mm-hmm. So that one person is a department of one, and you're taking all the complaints, all the issues, all the problems, basically anything that they don't want to go to the hotel manager about, or they can't find the hotel manager, everything's coming to you. So, you know, all the manifests, all the special groups, events, the VIPs, all of that, plus a phenomenal training program where they put you through Arc Academy and you learn how to guide, drive Zodiacs, the inflatable boats that we drive. Mm. I'll just say that because that's what people would probably understand them as. And the only way that you can go ship to shore to ship is via one of these Zodiacs. So learning how to drive a Zodiac in Antarctica, South Georgia, Falklands with 40 to 60 knot winds going in reverse, it was a lot.
Wow.
It was a lot because I'm, you know, more trained on the hospitality side than as a guide, but I was amongst amazing company, phenomenal talent, both at their head office and on board. And I worked on 3 of their vessels in my time this season. And such kudos to the entire team there for what we were able to achieve and accomplish, even with COVID-19. Just incredible stuff that we did. And the way that we were able to get our guests back safely to all the different countries that Quark has on board was a phenomenal feat. It's a testimony to how they, you know, plan their teams. It was incredible. And I will just say, Antarctica is by far the most majestic place I've ever been to.
Wow. Very good. Very good. I've seen some of the pictures that you, or some of the photos that, that you shared. Yeah. Now, even before that, you lived in, and I mentioned that in your bio, in not Australia, New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Okay. So how long were you in New Zealand?
So I was in New
Zealand. How did you get there? How did you even get there?
Yeah. So I was wrapping up a 9-year career in event planning here in New England between Massachusetts and Connecticut. And I just needed a change. I was ready. I needed something big. I was at my desk one day in my event planning job, and I just didn't really feel completely fulfilled. And I wanted adventure, and I wanted something exciting. So I literally packed up my life, and I applied for this work visa, the work visa that I didn't even know about. I didn't know all Americans could get these work visas because I was a little late to the party. I was over 30 when I applied. And had I done it under 30, then I would have had more opportunities. So anybody out there that's under 30, that's American, that wants to go to another country, of course, once COVID is over, I encourage you to do it and do the research now, because I waited until after 30. So it only gave me one option, and it was New Zealand. So I had to go before I was 35, or it's not employed. You can't go. So I got the application in just in time. And then I went over there on a work visa, and I genuinely thought I would just do some random job, such as bartending. I had gone to bartending school, and I was bartending part-time in Connecticut. And I thought, okay, I'll just be a bartender. It's fine. I don't care. Because it pays really well over there. They pay their bartenders a livable wage. And so I thought, okay, I'll just do that. And then I saw an ad for an event planner through a recruiter to work for Sanitarium. And Sanitarium is the creator over there of Weepix. And so I was the event planner on their Weepix Kids Triathlon. Mm. 12 towns, 20,000 participants. And so I was the planner on that. And it was an amazing experience. Lots of diversity at the workplace. Freedom to come up with your own ideas. Everybody was super friendly. I think I was the only American in the building, but it was an amazing opportunity. Sanitarium was one of the highlights.
Wow. Very good. So, okay. So you lived there for how long in New Zealand?
14 months.
14 months. Okay. And during this 14 months, you got this bug to do a documentary.
Mm-hmm. So for the first 4 months, I just traveled New Zealand. And then I went, this was in 2010. So then I went to China. Anyone who's listening may have gone, maybe I saw you there, at the Global Travel and Tourism Summit in Beijing. And then the World Expo was in Shanghai that year as well, in 2010. Wow. Then I thought, okay, I saw what I had to do. I thought I have to do something to show that I'm serious about this industry and about, you know, creating really great content and programming. So I went back, I acquired the position at Sanitarium. And then when they asked me to extend the contract, because it's all contract based in a lot of the roles in that area of the world, it allows people to kind of do personal projects and whatnot. And so when they asked, what do you want to do? I said, I do not want to extend the contract. I'm going to go make this documentary on New Zealand. And so I produced it, created a team, found this incredibly talented cameraman who happened to also be from New Hampshire. His name is Casey Nearing. Wow. Phenomenal. He actually came back after that and has worked on scripted shows, but he was wonderful. And he and I got a rental car, and I produced the whole thing, and we went all through New Zealand and shot it. And we created together 30 hours of footage and a 42-minute piece for television.
Wow. Now, had you had this kind of experience before with writing anything like this, or being in front of the camera, anything like that?
You know, I took broadcast journalism classes in college, and I was a musical theater actress in college. I did 8 musicals at my alma mater, and that was just my cruise ship work. And oftentimes for cruise ship work, they'll have you do, you know, shots to camera and video work and whatnot if they're making videos about the company. And so I was asked to do those at Cunard and whatnot. But no, I mean, it was my first one. I hadn't had any previous training. I just said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it the best it can be. And I funded it myself. I did not have funding when I did it. I don't know if I would encourage somebody to do that, but I was that passionate about it. I had to do it. I had to do this for myself.
No, it was great. I mean, I watched it a couple times. You said it was a trailer. I'm like, I thought it was part of the episode. I thought it was an episode. I'm like, wow, this is great, because I've seen other travel shows before, right? And yours up there with the ones that are on TV now to this day.
Oh, thank you.
And I mean, and you can just tell just the passion that you had for the country of New Zealand and the people. And you were showing things that maybe were off the beaten path. I think it was cheese making or something like that.
Amaru, New Zealand, Whitestone.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. Yeah. You know, you put your hand in the way and all that kind of. It was fun. But the most exciting part, and I'm sure this was the most exciting for you, is when you went on the. What was that? Is that a parasailing?
I don't know what you call it. Paragliding in Queenstown.
Paragliding. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That was, I know, were you scared?
Well, I will say this. I did attempt to bungee jump in New Zealand and I couldn't do it because I am terrified of heights. And the way that Casey and I had filmed it, my cameraman, we had to film it over 2 days and the weather was not good. And around that time in 2010, there had just been a helicopter crash, and any New Zealander or Kiwi that might be listening to this would know that was in 2010. We had the mining accident happen on the South Island, and then the helicopter or plane crash. I think it was one of those. I'm sorry. They're kind of competing because they happened within the same week of the week that we were shooting, the primary week that we were shooting.
Wow.
Right. And so, so like I said to Casey, well, do you think it's safe, you know, to go out paragliding? And so we had filmed it over 2 days because the weather was a bit spotty. And so he was up with his camera paragliding above me. And so we got the shots to camera that way. So he was following me and with the other paraglider. It was an incredible experience, but the feeling is real. I was screaming because I am terrified of heights. I just don't do well at heights. I can go skiing. I mean, but the idea of just, you know, falling to my death, you know, I'd like to live a little longer. There's more I want to do.
Yeah, that was great. It was great. And I encourage, first of all, you to, where can they find that YouTube video?
Sure. So, if they go to YouTube, Sarah Good Travels New Zealand teaser.
Okay. Yeah, it was great. Anybody that's listening that want to check it out. And I, like I said, I don't know why you're not in New Zealand right now doing a travel show. I don't know why. But how did that work out? Okay, so you did this teaser, and did you market it or what? Where did it go from there?
I did. I was so close. I will not say the network or the channel.
Of course.
But I had one particular network who had said, we really want to see it before you debut it in Auckland. And so she got a private screening, this individual. And she's pretty well known in the industry, both in the UK and England and in New Zealand. And she sat me down and had said, look, we'd love to buy it. Do you have a series? And I said, no, it was a one-off. I didn't know she was going to think it was that good. Not that I didn't think it was good, but you know, it was the first one in my career. So I didn't think, how is this even possible? And so, what ended up happening is that she ended up not buying it. And so I then went to some other networks and had some very interesting meetings with people. And I think I mentioned this. I had met this one network exec who had said, well, show me the good parts. And she gave me her remote and she asked me to fast forward to the best parts of the documentary. And then she paused it and she said, well, you're not exactly beautiful, but that will work for you because you're relatable and people like that stuff.
Wow. Wow.
And I said, okay, thank you for the feedback.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy. That's great. So
you gotta have six.
I mean, yeah, well, in that industry, if you're trying to do things like that, you're darn right. I mean, that's a, you know, if anything, you should be teaching this stuff, right, to people that, you know, don't give up. I mean, you know, because they'll throw you some curveballs just like they threw you, and you probably could have just like, you know what, I'm done doing this or whatever. But I mean, you didn't give up. You kept going. You kept doing other things if you didn't do that. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't give up. Even in this incredibly, I'm going to say memorable, because I'm tired of that everybody keeps using. But even in this memorable COVID time that we are all in, I feel that you have to make some goals and some lists of aspirations or things that you really want and go after them and tackle it as though your life depends on it. It is your job to succeed. It is your job to be successful. I think I can do anything if I put my mind to it. And often I get there eventually. It might not be when I want it because I have a little impatience to how I approach things. I want it now, but everybody wants it now. If you want something bad enough, especially in your career or if it's in your personal life, if you say, I want to lose 50 pounds right now, you're going to get there. If you want it bad enough, you're going to do it if you're determined and if you put the work in. How can it go any other way?
You're right. Okay, so we're at 147 right now, right? And we're on air with Russell Hotels with Sarah Good, who is, you know, the travel, tourism, documentary expert, okay? She's my go-to for all that stuff. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about, because you and I have talked about, you know, books that you find interesting and things that you learn. And could you share a couple with me? And I know you have them because we talked about this. So
yeah.
Share a couple and just give a couple thoughts, because, you know, people during this time, you know, what's going on now, people need some encouragement. People need to know that other people are maybe in the same situation. And what do you do to get past this stuff?
Sure. So, okay. So two things come to mind. I'll just touch on, I guess, career, because that's probably what is on everyone's mind. I also have a coach. I have a career advisor that I use since I returned from Japan back in 2014. So I've known him, what, about 6-7 years now, going into 7 years. And he's been amazing and he's helped me a lot. However, he can't teach me everything, right? I mean, everybody's kind of looking for, how do I get a leg up? How do I get a job? So I'll just give two quick tips that I can tell anyone who's listening. Number one, if you really think that you are the best candidate for the position or for the job, do yourself a favor, find the HR contact or the hiring manager on LinkedIn and leave them or write them a message. So write them a message, even if you think that it's been out for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I don't have a chance, write the HR person or the hiring manager a message on LinkedIn. If you find their email, you can send it via email and write three reasons why you are the best candidate for that position. And don't give up on it. And then the second one, this was advice given to me by my coach, so I can't say that it's my idea, but it works so many times. It's phenomenal. Leave a message for the hiring manager or that HR contact after hours. So after they've gone home for the day, leave them a message detailing, give a testimonial why you are the best candidate. Do it after hours, do it after 5, after 6, whatever time you think they go home, so that that's the first thing that they hear the next morning. You can do it on Sunday night so they get it on Monday morning. But those two things have really helped me a lot. And then I have bought this book. I'll just share it. I finally bought the 2020 version of What Color Is Your Parachute? It's amazing. It has a workbook. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't know where to begin, you've hit a roadblock, this is my go-to. I always learn something new, and I'm kind of revamping at this stage in my search as well. And then my number one book, Creative Visualization by Shakti Gawain. I actually found that book living in Bangkok, living in Thailand, and kept walking by the where that book was. And I'd pick it up, put it back down, pick it up, put it back down. And then I finally bought it and did everything in there. And I believe I manifested my way to my position in Antarctica.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad.
This one is incredible. I've told many, many friends about it. You have to do exercises, you're meditating, you're manifesting, you're creating ideal scenes, treasure maps, kind of like vision boards. So nothing too woo-woo, nothing too out there. But if you do the meditations and you write the affirmations and you spend time visualizing yourself in that new position, in the new role, you write the affirmations, you meditate on it, literally you take the time out to do it, only good things can come. I am a strong believer that because of everything I did, I really wanted that Antarctica position and I wanted it for this season that just finished. I didn't want to wait 5 more years or something. Mm. And I think that because I did all that, it came to fruition. So I'm a big believer in creative visualization.
Yes, you are. And you always point me in the right direction. That's for sure. So of the many conversations you and I have had, that book has come up in several conversations. In fact, were you not living in before you took the position with you went to Antarctica? You were living in Thailand, correct?
I was. So I decided to vacate my position at Cunard Cruise Line, and I departed the ship in Australia, and I flew to Thailand. And had a glorious 6 weeks of vacation time in Koh Phangan. And then I thought, okay, I need to find a job. And so we all do, right? Money doesn't grow on trees. So I just hit the ground running. I have a TEFL teaching English as a foreign language. I have a TEFL certification. So I had taught English in Japan. I had taught in Los Angeles. I had taught in Massachusetts. And I had that to fall back on. So I hit the ground running and I found a position in Bangkok. And so I was there almost a year. It was one of the more challenging times of my life, right up there with Japan in terms of challenge and not knowing the language and the rigmarole that you have to go to get the work visa in Thailand is rather extensive. So if you can get through that, you can find a job in the United States.
Hmm. Wow. Now, we got about 7 minutes. Now, take me through that last, you're in Antarctica and the whole COVID thing hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how much you can talk about, and I, believe me, I, respect, you know, whatever you can talk about, what you can't talk about, but, sure. But how was that? Like, how long did it take you to get back? I don't know if stranded is the right word, but were there people still on the ship? And, you know, just kind of, like I said, you got like 5 minutes. You know, we probably don't need that much time, but anyway.
It's okay. It's fine. So it was monumental. That's the word that comes to mind. It was, I don't know. I didn't really see it coming. I don't know if what other people on my team would have said. We didn't have any cases on board and we were so proud of that. We had rigorous checks in place. So we didn't have any cases on board. We didn't have any cases in Antarctica at that time that I was working there. So I can't speak about anything on any other vessel after that time. So I believe it was around St. Patrick's Day and we had canceled our last voyage and we changed flights. We, you know, accommodated all of our guests and it was a lot. I don't know how else to say it. Very little sleep over a short amount of time, just because as guest services manager, you're making sure that you're getting all of the new flights that you're booking everybody and then the flights would change and then they'd cancel and then you're hearing from their travel agents all around the world. And so it was just a lot of choreographing. But our head office was phenomenal, and they were my right arm, and they helped me through all of it, and they were impeccable. And I can't say enough about that team on there and the team in the head office. They were amazing. I was working with people who had kind of gone through the challenges of 9/11. And so I felt that I was, you know, going to be supported. And it was interesting. But the thing is, I think that to be on an expedition team, it takes a certain kind of person. You're adaptable to anything. You have to be able to just deal with it. Okay, mm-hmm. The next voyage is canceled. Fine. We don't know if the next voyage is coming. You're still doing the manifest. Fine. Okay, we're getting ready for the next voyage anyway. Okay, fine. Okay, final manifest. Done. Out. Done. Spreadsheets done. Mail them out. And then boom. Okay, it's canceled. All right, we're rerouting. We're going back to Ushuaia early. It was just a lot because kind of the rules in Argentina and with Ushuaia were changing constantly hour by hour, as you can imagine. Mm. They're, of course, concerned about the safety of their citizens and of guests and travelers in their town, as they rightfully should have been. And so a couple of us stayed on board just because of the changes and the flights and the rules and the laws. So we were at sea, well taken care of, for 20 days at sea.
Wow.
And it was great. We were in the safest place we could be. Myself and a colleague, my friend Roswita, she lives in Australia, and she was trying to figure out how she was going to get back there, got back safely and all. And so we did daily workouts twice a day, and we kept really upbeat and everything. There was nothing negative about it. I don't have anything bad to say about it. It was just ensuring that our guests got home. And mm-hmm. I think that our team did a phenomenal, top-notch job. And I was honored and privileged to be on it for that season, because who would have known when I stepped on that first ship for Quark Academy training that it would have led to that. And the other guest services managers on the other vessels were incredibly helpful as well. And it's a big team effort. That is the meaning of being in the expedition and in the team spirit. It was a great, great opportunity.
That's cool. Cool. Now, will you cruise again?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if I could keep myself away from Antarctica. Still want to do the Arctic. And I think that being in that area of the world is so transformational.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. All right. Well, God, I have like 10 more questions, but I only have 2 minutes, so I can't ask you all these questions. But 30 seconds. Sure. What's next for you? In 30 seconds, what's next for you?
Oh, gosh. Well, I am seeking, I guess, the right kind of position in travel and hospitality, is something where I can use kind of everything I've learned in the industry right now. I really want to stay connected to the industry. I don't really want to swerve or rotate, as you say, into another industry. And I've been working on it, and I've had some great conversations with people that just even want to have proactive introductory conversations about positions that may be opening up in the future. So that's why I say to anybody who's looking, if you have a goal, go after it, find the person on LinkedIn, make some phone calls, see if somebody in your network knows the person, or don't wait for somebody else. Just do it yourself. Send them an introduction, get to know them now, start the relationship now, and be interested, and do your research on the company. Do a lot of research on the company, mission, vision, culture, values, so that you're well adept in speaking about it if you be asked.
Very good. All right, Sarah, we've got to wind up because I think I only have 30 seconds. So thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much for being a guest. Thank everyone so much for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels, live with me and then with Sarah Good, who is our travel expert. But I'm going to talk to you soon, okay? So, but thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
and that's it. So you guys take care. Thank you for the 80th show. We'll be back for show number 81, same time next week. So take care. Peace.
Thank you.
thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.